Everybody, hello, 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 hello. How is everyone doing out there today? Welcome to another edition of the Amongst Friends Talk Radio Show. I am your host with the mostest. I am Dr. J, also known as Coco. How y'all doing? To my immediate right, I have the also grown, the also sexy, the also nice, sugar and spice. D Rob is in the building. What's up, girl?
Yes. I'm here. Yes.
I so love that introduction. And to my left, I have the also suave, the also debonair, Breezy T. What's going on, Breezy?
Hey, man, everything's good. Everything's love. How you all doing?
I'm good.
You know, so I thought of another way to address D-Rob.
Oh.
D-Rob is one part voluptuous.
Voluptuous. Mm-hmm.
One part cinnamon.
Oh. Cinnamon.
Mm-hmm. You know, because it's sweet.
Oh.
You know, and one part salt.
Wait a minute.
Well, she has a moment. She has some spicy moments.
Oh, okay.
And you mix it up, you get erotic voluptuous.
Oh. Well, all right. That pretty much sums the Rob up. All right. Well, guys, tonight we're going to be talking. We're going to continue with the conversation that we had on last week. Does a church hurt or does it help? But before we dive into the conversation, let's get into how you can join in on the conversation. You can join the conversation by giving us a call,
60-683-2662.
Or you can hit us up on Periscope at the Amongst Friends Periscope page. Or you can hit us up on our Twitter at Amongst_Friends. Or you can hit us on Facebook and you can post any kind of type of questions or any type of comments or what we're doing, what the conversation is going to be about on tonight at Amongst Friends. So last week we talked about does the church hurt or does it help? And some of us were on the fence, like myself. I was on the fence about the conversation, about the question, and I'm still on the fence. But I did have a revelation today while I was on my way home. And I was on my way home, and I was on the phone with my husband, and so it is anniversary season.
What is that?
Oh, okay. I thought you just poured you a glass. I'm sorry.
You got
okay. Oh, I like the glass. I'm sorry.
It's for the princess.
Right. Well, can I have it?
That's not you. That's not you.
So, I had a revelation today, and so it is anniversary season, you know, at my church, and, it's anniversary season at my church that I attend, and our anniversary is the end of the month, and so during this time, every Sunday, we have a guest preacher. So, we had a guest preacher at our church on Sunday, and he wasn't more than a preacher, he was a prophet. Call himself a prophet. Oh. And not sure. Go ahead. You had a question. Or I may answer your question before you.
I'll wait.
Okay. So the difference, I was always taught the difference between a pastor, preacher, and a prophet is a prophet comes in to set order. A prophet comes in to tell you what thus says the Lord. A prophet comes in, like, and pretty much set things in order and prophesy over over people. And a pastor, they pastor and they preach. So with that being said, we had a prophet come in. He did a little bit of preaching. I didn't care too much for the preaching style because I like teaching. And it wasn't something that was being taught. It wasn't anything that was being taught. So what happened, he just started prophesying over a lot of people. And so what happened today, one of the guys, I guess, he had a brainstorm. He thought about the sermon or thought about the prophecies that were being delivered. The prophecies, majority of the prophecies were not geared to just one specific person. He didn't whisper and he just told it over the pulpit. So one person, this guy, he goes on Facebook and goes on the couples ministry page, which I run the couples ministry, and says, I quit the group. How do you quit a couples ministry? I was at work, so my husband reached out to him and was like, hey, what are you talking about? What do you mean? So apparently he got a confirmation from the prophet and dumped his girlfriend. Just dumped his girlfriend. And so my husband's like, no, that's not how that works. That's not how that works. And then so me and my husband are talking, and I'm like, well, I didn't see it. And he was like, you know, he made the guy take it down. So he took it down, and he told the guy, he was like, no, that's not how that works. He said, what our pastor should have done was come back after the prophet left, come back and say, okay, now that you all receive different types of prophecy, we need you all to pray. Pray before you make any kind of actions or start kicking people out of your house, start kicking people out of your lives,
right,
and things like that. Pray, because those were, they were generic. Ones that were being thrown over the pulpit, those were very generic. Everybody has evil issues. Everybody has problems. Everybody has those type of things that he was mentioning over the pulpit. So instead of him just saying that, the prophet left and service was over with. So no one said, okay, y'all need to pray about this, you know, ask the Lord for guidance, blah, 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 X, Y, and Z, yada, yada, yada. So in that instance right there, I thought about our show. I was like, that's, and not only that, somebody else called my husband with almost the same type of thing. And it made me really think about the show, because I'm like, that's kind of, you know, people are being hurt. People are being hurt because they're not being guided and led, you know, properly. You know, so I can't. So they're not being led properly. So, and if you're not being led properly, if your shepherd isn't overseeing you properly or you know, doing you right, you know, you're going to perish. So that's what made me really, really think about the show. What do you think about that, dude? You are scrunching over there.
I'm not scrunching.
Use your microphone.
I'm not scrunching.
Can you send me your address while you do that?
My address?
Yeah, because my niece wants it.
You see Periscope?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. All right. what I would say is prophet, preachers, evangelists.
I don't get any of all those titles.
Apostle, what have you.
I can't wait for this one.
Lord, you telling me to be quiet?
No.
What I would say is that when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, okay, he died that we may have life.
Okay.
He also left himself within.
Yeah.
So anything that anyone is saying to you needs to be a confirmation of what has already been spoken within. Okay.
I agree.
So, when you have preachers and people and prophets who would like to speak over your life and into your life, anything that causes me to be confused or in disarray and is not a confirmation of what I already know, I'm not so quick to receive.
That makes sense.
Here's another thing. This is just me. This ain't what the, well, this is for me and for me. I'm not speaking what you should do, but just for me. Someone is prophesying to me or over me or whatever. I mean, outside of me being like, yeah, I'm good on that. I don't need all of that.
Right.
Not that I'm straight. It's just, you know, when you have people, it's one thing to, you know this famous pastor, preacher, evangelist, apostle, whatever names y'all want to call yourself in the service of the Lord. If I don't know you, I don't know that I want you speaking into my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm a bit more cautious than I was early on, okay, because I know that I hear from the Lord myself, okay? Here's my thing. So you can speak something, and I can respectfully say, thank you for the word.
There it is.
I will take it and or discard it out of your presence. I'm not going to make a big scene or anything like that. But I am also going to be listening. I'm also going to be very cautious of the surrounding of what's been said and all this kind of stuff. So if a prophet comes in and he says, and the Lord said, in 2 weeks, you're going to get X, Y, Z. Trust and believe, because I'm very black and white. I'm going to come to you and be like,
14 days passed by.
Did it happen?
14 days has passed by.
It ain't happening.
Now, if we go back to the Bible, what does it say about false prophets? But, so I hear what you're saying and all this kind of stuff. So I'm very leery of today's prophet. And I'm hear me and hear me well, people, men and women of God, hear me. If the Lord has spoken to you, let him continue to speak to you and impart unto his people. But just know that if I am in your presence, I will be fact checking. I'm just saying. And so because of that, I said all that to say, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to throw shade or anything like that. But in that particular situation, I'm not going to put that on the church. I'm not.
That's an individual.
I am going to put it on the individual because you are not supposed to be going to church just to hear words that you can go back and quote on what the pastor, prophet, evangelist, whatever,
elder,
whatever. It's not for you to go and regurgitate their words. It is for you to then go back home and study and do your own research and let God that is within speak and impart into your life. And so when you go and take that person's word and you don't go back and talk with God and say, God, what are you saying to me?
Mm-hmm.
That's on you. So I'm not going to put that on the church. What I would put on the church or put on the pastor is that anyone that you bring into the house of God to speak to the people that are now under your covering, you need to vet those people.
Absolutely.
Or even ensure that I do want you to say what thus says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some things that I don't want you to do for my people because maybe they are more new in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And could take things very literal. But those are the conversations that the pastor should be having. Listen, I ain't got no church. Okay, I ain't nobody's first lady.
Right,
I'm not telling y'all how to run y'all churches. I'm just saying somebody who done been in the church for a while and done seen a lot of things, heard a lot of things, saw a bunch of false stuff. Y'all need to be leery.
Okay, so well, let me ask you this real quick. You said
is this before I drink or not after I drink?
Well, while she's drinking, I get my substance. I will hardly agree with D, with an exception. So I'm gonna blame. I'm gonna hold the individual accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm you know literally myself or somebody that I don't know. I've never met. Say, you know, God gave me word for you. Well, that's cool. Y'all know you from Adam, so I don't know if you know how God told you that on this particular day you're gonna see me. Now, if I'm, you know, a church member of you, and you haven't seen me, wow, so, you know, I've been thinking about you, you know, God want to give me, you know, tell me to give you some inspiration, or, you know, your breakthrough will come, you know, come soon, that's fine, because I already know you. And,
right.
And you, by, you know, seven times out of ten, you know what I'm going through already. Having said that, anybody could say, thus says the Lord, in front of something, you know, and make it their own. You know, thus Lord said, you know, you're going to have a Mercedes.
Yeah.
You know
the Lord ain't said that.
Anybody, right.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? And anybody can say, you know, thus to the Lord. Mm. And then, like D said, you know, fact checking. Okay, well, what backs up what thus said the Lord to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a minister, and he'll say, you know, and the Bible says, and he'll give you that scripture. So that way, you know, if you don't agree with what he says, you can go through the whole scripture for yourself and fact check him.
Absolutely.
You know, so
absolutely.
Anybody can say, thus said the Lord, but unless mm-hmm. you have something to back it up for the person you spake it to, how else are they going to operate?
Right.
You know, so now I said that the onus is also on the person receiving. The gentleman you spoke of,
mm-hmm.
maybe he's already on the fence about leaving his girlfriend. Maybe he heard half of what he should have heard. See, I told you I should have leave her.
Right, right.
you know, like I said last week, you know, I grew up hearing, you know, money's root of all evil. But it's the love of money. So he may have heard half a verse.
Right.
And so you know what? This is my confirmation. I need to dump her ass.
Right.
And that might have been the case.
Right.
You know, so the onus is actually, the onus is more on a person receiving than doing this preaching. You know
right.
what I mean? Yes, there's wolf in sheep's clothing, but if you are a Bible reader, then you should be able to do your own research. You know, I don't know a lot of prophets. I never really came across that, but if someone out there saying I'm a prophet, I'll probably look at them like Wikipedia. You just wrote that when you came into church. You just wrote that in the parking lot. You know what I'm saying? you just wrote that, you know?
Right.
So, again, you know, while you have the person tell you something, the onus is on the person receiving.
Right.
Am I going to believe this or am I going to do some, you know what I'm saying, some backstory on this cat?
Well, both of y'all brought up an interesting topic, an interesting concept. You said it's on the people and you said it's up to the person. But we all know that people are not going to take out the time. A lot of people aren't going to take out the time to get a word, then go back and study it for themselves. Not a lot of us. And on top of that, so a lot of people aren't going to do that. So with that being said, that's why you have to have people who are preachers and teachers so they can merge the two so that they can help you along the way. And not only that, not only help you along the way, but make the Bible a little bit more interesting than how I grew up reading the Bible. It wasn't interesting at all. I couldn't understand it at all. Then, y'all say it's on the individual, from the individual. Some individuals don't understand prophecy. Some individuals don't know how to study the Bible. you know, some people think that there's still only the King James Version of the Bible that's only available. So, you know, you have to look at, you know, all sides of the coin. So as a minister, you do need to teach your people how to receive prophecy. You do need to teach your people how to receive prophecy. You need to, and like you said, betting your prophet or your whatever they want to call themselves, vetting your people.
No shade, no
tea. I just don't like all those titles, bishops, elders, and...
You know, I tell you what's funny. I visited World Changers Church in Atlanta once, you know, in Clark Park, Georgia, once before.
What kind of church name is that?
No, Crypto Dollar. You know, I visited one time, and this particular Sunday, I didn't know until he said it. This was like a brand. I mean, it's one of those mega churches, you know, 40,000 members. So this particular Sunday, yeah, I guess it was a brand new praise team. You know, it came out performed. They have stage. It's not really a pulpit, but a stage.
Oh.
Came out, you know, and did a praise team thing. Then here he comes behind them. And I swear to God, he said, y'all sound good, but I don't know y'all names. So to go back about betting, I also told with this, the pulpit is sacred. You can't have anybody in the pulpit. Yes, it's a stage, but right now, bro, this is, you know what I'm saying? So you can't just have anybody come up in your church and say this and the other, and I don't think you have just anybody up in your pulpit, so you'll know who they are.
Absolutely. I agree. Are you okay? You are squinting over there.
I'm not squinting. What I don't want to do is derail your topic.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
For tonight. Because when we talk about church, I have some very strong opinions. So that's
the whole world will stop. Well, B, that's why we're amongst friends, so we can talk about those opinions and things like that.
I'm good. You know, I believe that. In this situation, I don't believe that it's the church that would be considered. I don't consider this one of the issues where the church would hurt us, unless the pastor just blatantly put up somebody who was full of foolishness, ain't bit nobody's prophet, evangelist, elder, bishop, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And he recklessly put someone up in the pulpit. Right. Then I fault the church.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't fault the church for having people come and speak. In this particular situation, I think that's a conversation that's more geared towards new in Christ believers and mature saints. I think that's more along the lines of where that conversation would go. I mean, but hey, this is your show, and you can take it wherever you want, but I'm just saying.
Well, here's the thing. You mentioned new in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing. The guy that I'm talking about is one of the ministers. Yeah. So he's not new in Christ.
Hold on.
They've been a minister at this church
mm-hmm.
for about 4 years.
Oh.
Previously, they have had their own church before.
Uh-huh.
So they're not new to the whole.
Okay, so before you go there and talk about folks new and not new and I done been in positions for this many years.
Okay.
No tea, no shade. All tea, all shade.
Only all tea.
perfect example.
Okay.
If I have a master's in human resources and I've been working as a federal staffing contractor for so many years, does that mean I know basic?
I am done.
That's my that's my question to you.
that does not mean.
Okay. So just because I have the title pastor or I've had my own church don't mean that I'm not new in Christ. Hell, they might not even know Christ.
You know what? I have family members.
You're right.
I have family members that we get together and they always pray. Well, say, oh, you should be a minister. No, you can't just be a minister. I'm going to go smaller and be a minister. You can't just be a minister. Just because someone can give a dynamic prayer or speak something that may be uplifting and may be spiritual, it does not mean you are a minister. True. You might be ministering at that particular time, but all our jobs really is to minister.
That's everyone's job. Absolutely.
You know, let's make you minister.
So let me ask you, I'm gonna ask both of you, mm-hmm. and any one of you all can answer this particular question. So what are the things that you think that a church does that hurt people? And answer that first.
Closed-mindedness, stuck in the past.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the history of the world, everything, even religion and the church, evolves, or it should. So, you know, look at gospel music. For better or for worse, you know, you got songs like I Love God.
You don't love God?
I'm not going to sit here and say that's the worst song or the best song, but because of today's times, that's how she feels like she had to reach
the younger generation.
So, if you still suck at doing stuff you did in 1970, you turn a lot of people off. Now, I'm not saying you got to be on some new age stuff where, you know, the Lord is not, you know, ever present, but, you know, just like everything else, while the words stay the same, sometimes how you share the word changes.
Let me say this to kind of piggyback on what Breezy just stated. What baffles me is that every year something new changes, evolves. I mean, even as an infant who grows into an adult, every year we change. You know what I'm saying? Even into becoming an elder or an elderly person or whatever, we evolve. And so it baffles me that people don't think that the Word of God evolves, that it stands still. So the thing that governs God's people, who he creates to blossom, to live more abundantly, to go about doing whatever, they're expecting that word to stay the same with no regard to back in the BCEs or whenever the Bible was created, there were different laws, there were different circumstances, there were different traditions, there were different things that governed the body during those times. And so now, if you place the Bible into this box, it doesn't apply. It doesn't fit me. It doesn't fit where I am. People don't understand. People are taking the Bible so literal, but then at the same time, they're not even looking at the context in which it was spoken or speak or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That it was written. You know what I'm saying? So it just baffles me. And I think that is a huge part and how the church hurts the people. Okay. Because that would mean that you're telling me that I can't evolve. You're saying that the word of God doesn't evolve, and if I am God and God is me, you're telling me that I'm supposed to be right here, this is all that I could ever be? When God is clearly saying that I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly, how can you tell me to stand in this box and don't move when the word of God says something totally different? How, Sway? How do you keep telling the same thing over and over again and it's clearly wrong? How? Why?
You know, I just had an eye-opening experience. That opened my eyes just now.
Yeah, because before you said that, I said the word is the same. But I said how delivered is different.
Right.
You opened my eyes, like, you know, it's ever evolving.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the world is always changing, and just like the song says, the world is ever changing, but God is still the same. God is still the same, but you're right, but the Bible is, I'm not taking that step, Lord.
Listen. I am not. Let me say this. I don't want y'all to take this the wrong way. I am by no means saying that the Bible is no longer a valid source of guidance.
No, I'm not saying that. But
I want it to be clear to the public that's listening. I am not telling you non-believers.
So
that you don't need to go and put your faith in the word of God, okay? Now, clearly.
So basically you're saying it's not the only.
No, I'm not even necessarily.
It's not the only.
I'm not even saying that. I'm saying you can have the Bible as your main source. But in the world that we live in, where there are so many resources available to us, it would behoove you not to go and try and understand. Well, praise the Lord, saints. Hey, God, hello. Yes. Thank you.
Speaking of, I can't see.
Come into the light. Who is that? Come on, Pastor, and sit and talk with us. Yes. Come on, good sir. We're talking about chat tonight. Oh,
so,
okay. But I'm saying, I feel like you should still use the resource that are available to you to give you more clarity on what was shared in the Bible.
Right, right.
That's what I'm saying.
Around when I was like 18, 19, like 98,
come
I think
on.
Upon myself to study.
Come on up.
Right. I was going to be swayed away from Christianity.
Don't be here long. Okay, don't be here long, but go on
and
share your
witness. I was a sister Jehovah's Witness. I had friends from high school that said they advanced it. So, and to this day, I still have, you know, their Bibles.
Okay.
I sat and talked, you know with Mormons. I've actually opened the door and I sat and talked with them. Right at the time, I'm a huge Outkast fan.
Oh, yeah.
And on the second album.
I was receiving out to my baby dad.
Right. On the second album, it's a song where they have a spoken word artist by the name Big Rule. And he said, you know, he's dropping this spoken word. And he said, you know, Jesus plus the 12 disciples equals 13. A righteous number of righteous men. Even Judas betrayer came true in the end. And that just stuck with me. And so I had my friends over, and I said that. Okay, it popped my mind, you know. And it was like, wow, like we hadn't heard that put that way before. This
right.
is Mormons now. So here I am hearing, you know, a secular artist, you know, if you want to call him, you know, during a time where I was, you know, studying different religions. And so, you know, like Dee said, if you want to say it's a main source or not, you can still search out other avenues, but be true to what you are, because the Bible's still my main go-to. That's it. But I still have the Seventh-day Adventist Bible. I still have the Mormon Bible. And I read it.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Well, you all, for those who just joined us at the show, you can still join in live on the conversation. We can be reached at 760-683-2662. You can hit us up on our Periscope page at Amongst Friends. Hit us up on Twitter at @amongst_friends, and you can hit us up on Facebook as well with your questions and comments at the Amongst Friends Talk Radio Show.
Did you just turn water into Riesling?
You know what? I can't.
Yeah.
So we have a special guest who just entered into the building. Yeah.
Hi, Sugar.
We have a special guest.
Say hello to Periscope.
Special to me. He's my husband, the one and only.
Mm, the one and the
only.
You had a white woman.
Oh, wait. Now, wait. So, Slim, last question. Are you Dr. Lamont?
No, I'm not a doctor.
Okay,
not yet.
Not yet.
I felt it in my...
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, Dr. and Trayman Lamont.
Dr.
Trayman
Lamont.
D.I.T.
Lamont.
D.I.T.
We're claiming.
Yes, let that gray come on through, boy.
So we're talking tonight about the church, and we're saying, does the church help people or does the church hurt people?
As a minister of the Word of God, what is your perspective?
Well, before you answer that, I brought up the issue that you and I were talking about earlier today.
I did.
About prophecy and people prophesying.
Put y'all all on blast.
As I said, my
people. Did.
Well, I didn't give names or anything like that. I just said, do you think it was up to the shepherd of the... You said it was up to the shepherd of...
Mm.
I'm
going
to stop speaking.
So, what is your question?
Do you think the church hurt people? Or do you think the church helped people? Why and why not?
I think that the church has the capability of helping people. I think that it's not the church. I think it's the members. Excuse me? What are you pausing for?
Time out. That wasn't the question.
The question was?
The question, no. You said what the church's ability or its ability
right.
to do,
okay.
We well, all know that. That's
Here's the thing about my husband. He will word fuck you.
Well, not tonight.
He will word
not tonight.
Fuck
Let's not do that. Okay? The question is, in the current state of the world today, what we know about church, how they act, what they do, are they hurting or helping?
I don't think that you can answer that. You can't put all churches in one box and say that all churches are hurting people. You can't say that all churches are helping people.
Nobody is saying.
So what you can say is that the church has the ability to help.
You're going to. That's the ring around the roses, a pocket full of posies, ashes. We all found. No. What we're not going to do is you're not going to come up in here and try to be politically correct and all this
correct.
Kind of stuff.
So if you,
we are amongst friends.
Speaking from myself.
Thank you.
Speaking from my
experience.
Point of view.
And I don't want to hear what the church can do. I want to hear what you feel in your experiences today. Is the church helping or hurting?
The church I currently attend.
In all of the experience of your life.
Hurt. I think that the church has hurt me, speaking from my point of view.
And that is exactly what we want.
So,
you said has. It's past tense.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but the show is. No? No? Okay.
No, that's fine, because that's how we get to change.
Okay.
I mean, because he could be a part of the solution.
Okay.
Because he has been hurt.
Correct.
How do we move forward?
Okay.
So tell us how they have hurt you, though. Because you were saying that before he was interrupted.
Oh, because growing up, the way I grew up, I was challenged concerning my sexuality. I was told that it was wrong to be gay. Did you say it is? Well, it's wrong to be a lot of things. But we
you are at, no. Oh, but no. No. This wasn't no moment where we
shall.
That it is wrong to be gay. You know, we were taught that, you know, there's only one way. There are several things that we were taught as growing up to the point that where I think it hindered me in life. It didn't prepare me to go out and face sexual challenges. It didn't prepare me to go out and be able to say, I want to go to the club. Is it okay for me to have a drink? Because we were taught that it was wrong. So in growing up and becoming 21, quite naturally, because it was taught that it was wrong, you want to test the fire for yourself and see, why is it wrong? What's going to happen? Am I going to hell today because I take this drink, or what's going to happen? So I think that, well, I know that I've been hurt by the church. Does that answer your question?
It does. I appreciate your honesty and your transparency. It is not. It is a conversation amongst friends,
right,
where you too can be a part of the conversation at 760-683-262. Thank you, Lord.
So in what ways do you think the church helped people?
So the current church that I go to, which is an all-inclusive church, I think that we offer a seat for everybody at the table. We make sure that everyone that can come and sit down at the table. So you feel comfortable.
What y'all doing at the table?
Well, the table is just a symbol. So what we're saying is there's room for everyone in the church. There's, just because you come in and you're transgender doesn't mean that we're going to turn you away. Just because you come in and you're a lesbian doesn't mean that we're going to turn you away. Just because you come in as a homosexual doesn't mean that we're going to turn you away. It means that there's room for everyone to worship in the house of God.
You know, the irony of you saying that you attend an all-inclusive church,
mm-hmm.
churches should already be all-inclusive.
They should be.
There shouldn't be an all-inclusive church, a Baptist, whatever. They should all be inclusive because God is love.
He is love. But so often that we as Christian people, we teach that God is love, but then we come back and we look at Leviticus 28:18, where it says, man should not lie with a man like he'll lie with a woman. We use that to condemn the homosexuals. We use a scripture that says that gluttony is a sin. So we use that to condemn the people that are overweight. We use scriptures to condemn people, but we don't go back and look at what the scripture says about love. And the greatest among everything is love. So we forget that we are supposed to love. So if we practice that as Christians, then people would feel like they were included in the church. It should not have to be that you advertise all inclusive so people can know that they can come
right.
in the church.
But it shouldn't be just called all inclusive. It should be church.
It should just be church. So then when you have New Hope Baptist,
right.
all inclusive church, then people know, oh, I can go here. Instead of just seeing New Hope Baptist Church, then I can walk in there and I can be myself. I can walk in and hold my husband's hand and sit next to him and feel
right.
comfortable that people aren't looking at me and condemning me and telling me, oh, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. Or somebody's prophesying over me and saying, if you don't leave him today, you're going to hell.
You know what? That's like, you know, that's like the black church. There shouldn't be the black church or a white church.
Well.
It shouldn't be church, right?
It should be, but we relate to God differently.
Right.
So
that's just like, you know, that should be all inclusive, or it should be Baptist church. It's the same thing.
It
should still be
the same thing. So when I say we relate to God differently, what I mean is that we worship differently.
Mm.
So you find that most black people are rhythm people. We like the beat. We get off into the beat. It makes us feel good. So then when you go to I hate to even say this, but when you go to another church of another color.
Mostly non-black,
politically correct. So when you go to churches like that, you notice that they don't have the beat that we have. They can't make us jump and run around the church and say hallelujah. They can do that, but they just choose to worship in another way. So that is the reason why I said that we relate to God differently.
Why is everybody looking at me?
You're the one that had the issue. So then,
no, wait a minute.
No, but you know what?
So,
but you know what? Hold on one second. Let me stress this point real quick. Because basically what you two are basically saying is what Dee said earlier about, you know, the church not evolving. And that particular reason, that's why the church is not involved, because we're so used to old school tradition.
We are traditional learning.
Traditional learning, right.
That's what we call it, traditional learning.
And that's what it goes
to. So, in attending seminary school, I had the privilege of taking a class called History of Christianity. And so, my instructor was a non black instructor, white, instructor. And so when he started the So when he started the class, we would go back to the beginning of Christianity. So for those that don't know that, you know, it all originated in Egypt, black people or whatever. So it was back over in that area. And so he would often say, whenever he was teaching us, he would always highlight, he would put an asterisk around people's names. And so at the end of class, he would always say, whenever I do that, that means that that was a black person. So it was so many black people that played the role in starting Christianity. And he would always say Christianity was good until my people took over. Had the black people just kept it the way they had it, we'd be in a better place because we were able to love better. I mean, and this is coming from a white man. So then for you to go back and to study the history of Christianity, to be able to look up things and to understand how it started and where it came from, and then you see how we were brought over here and slaves, and we were, the Bible was then turned against us, and we had to start submitting. It would say, submit yourself to those that have rule over you. So we took that as saying, oh, we can't do this anymore. We can't do that anymore, because that was the way we were taught. But had we stayed with the way that originally it was supposed to be, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in today.
You know, I hear people say, you know, I heard white people say, I don't see why African Americans are Christians, because it was forced upon them through slavery.
It was
right.
The practice.
Yeah.
The practice. And so that's where we get it misconstrued. We started it. We were good with it. But when we came over here, what was pushed on us is the submissive part of understanding what the scriptures mean. And so that's why so many churches are now still confused, because they're still using the traditional learning. They're not trying to find out what the scriptures mean for themselves. They are stuck, and they're still going by what my grandma said. My grandma said that this is what you're supposed to do. Granddaddy said that you're supposed to do this. Grandma said you're supposed to do this. Aunt Bessie said you're supposed to live like this. And the pastor says that you're supposed to be like this. So in black churches, back in the day, we were taught that they were the only ones that could hear from God, really was the pastors. And so often they let the pastors tell them, oh, this is how this is supposed to go. This is what you're supposed to do, instead of them having their own personal relationship with God. So no, we can't blame it on the white people. We have to blame it on the black church for us saying that we take on the slave mentality, because then the pastor, we became the pastor's slaves because we were doing what he said to do instead of doing what God said to do.
Sorry, real quick. Someone said they can't hear the show. Someone texted said they can't hear the show. So I sent them tonight's link if they can't hear the show. Just put it out there.
Maybe it's time for y'all to upgrade again.
How do you give that much word and throw that much
that was not saying
in the next breath?
You know, but speaking of what you said, you know, I hear a lot of people, you know, that'll say, you know, oh, the white man's Bible.
Mm-hmm.
There's no white man's Bible. It's the Bible.
It is.
I mean it's all been, you know, written by other people. Mm-hmm. There is no black man's Bible. There's no white man's Bible.
Well, how do we know that?
So
only because, and when I asked that,
I know.
Well, and when I asked that out of all sincerity, because black people, we couldn't read back then, we couldn't write back then. So how do we honestly know if we were good, as you would say, with Christianity before white people got involved, before the others got involved?
Because we practiced Christianity. So before,
how do you practice something when you can't read or write?
Who said that we could not? So that's part of the slave mentality, that we thought that we could not. Because prior to coming here, coming to America, we could do a lot of things. There was a lot of things that we were capable of doing, but when we got over here, that was when we were strongholded, held down, and we were told that we couldn't do this. So that was how it became to the point to where you were not able to practice this, or you didn't know how, because of some of the grandmas and the granddaddy said, you will not learn, you will not do this, you're going to be submissive, because the Bible says be submissive. So you're still holding on to, we couldn't. We've always been able to. So then it comes back to the practice of having in your mind to say that blacks are less than, because we've never been less than. We were put down to feel like that we were less than, but we were never less than.
Yes, we were.
No, and we were not.
We still are. What is the definition of racism?
We are not less than. We are made to feel that we're less than.
What
but we are equally created. God created everyone in his own
created,
image, which makes me know that I am somebody regardless of who doesn't like me, of my color or my gender or my sexual orientation. I am still someone, so I'm never less than. It's about what you believe in your own mind. And
what's the definition of racism, though? The definition of racism is being superior, though those who are superior and being less than.
Having a superior mind. It does not mean that they're superior over me, because there's a lot of white people that don't like me because of my color, but that doesn't make that they have more than I have. So superior to me is whenever they have, they control you. No one controls me.
Okay.
I mean, you give power to those that have power over you.
Okay.
Teacher, you're also quiet.
Because I'm in agreement with what you're saying.
You are?
Honey,
oh,
it's not.
Oh, praise the Lord.
You're surprised about
yes.
that. You're
yes.
surprised. You're like, you're
going to get saved tonight.
With a question mark behind that.
No, I'm going to
walk away from the wine tonight.
Ben,
you're going to put it down.
Also, you judging me
no,
now?
No, I'm not. I'm
also, you judging me now? He didn't send me the hair.
No, I didn't send
the wine.
Okay. Oh, yes, Mr. Ford. That's the way I believe.
Well, I'm glad that you're sharing your belief with the crew. So if you want
to
join in on conversations, 760-683-2662. So we're trying to resolve all of our technical issues that we're having.
I don't see no technical issues.
Someone just sent me something on Facebook.
Look out here, can I?
They said they emailed speaker support because they can't hear.
Am I getting hate mail again? Because last time I was on y'all's channel, I got hate.
You did get hate mail.
What
really?
They say?
You did?
What did they say?
Oh, they didn't say anything about me. No. I'm saying you did get hate mail the last time.
The last
did
time
you?
I did. Not hate
really?
Mail, but hate comments.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay because I know who I am.
That's the superior.
They get
hate. Glory.
I know who I am.
Hey,
I know
okay.
who I am.
You know, but it's because, like, you know, I always say we don't do that on this show.
You don't do what?
We don't hate. You know,
we don't hate, but
so. But for you to receive hate,
but then it's not. It's what it is. It's not. You can't control anyone. People are going to do exactly what they want to do. I had that conversation with a friend today, and I let him know you don't have the ability to change anyone. What you can do is change yourself. And for so many times, we try as people to change the other person, and all in actuality, you can't. Only thing you can do is work on yourself. So if you can show love still, that's all God commands us to do is to show love, regardless. And sometimes it's hard. Mm-hmm. When my husband pisses me off, it's still hard sometimes for me to say, oh, baby, I love you. It's hard. And, I mean, and that's the human part of me. I mean, because I have to be real about the situation. And he gets pissed off at me and he'll say, you know, well, I can't say what he says, but it's not good.
No tea, no shade.
Yeah, no tea, no shade.
I mean, we're amongst friends, dear.
We are.
I say, I love you.
After you cuss me out.
I don't curse.
Bishop, you don't stop lying on these airwaves tonight. What you're not going to do is lie right now. What you're not going to do.
Yes, you did.
Bish. B-I-S-H.
She gave the alternative version of
you're trying it. You're trying it. Let's not do that.
Okay, let's not do that.
All right.
So, yeah.
So, do you believe? What do you believe about the church?
Come on, sir. What
do
you believe?
How do you believe that?
Hey.
The church, because I know your story. So, let's not talk about the past. Let's talk about now.
Okay.
Is the church hurting you or is it helping you?
Is the church hurting?
Where are you at right now?
Right now, what is it doing for you now?
Wait. We want the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help you, God.
Within reason.
You can't then come back and say, okay, maybe I just want a little bit of truth.
I want the truth, but I just don't want him to expose any names or anything like that.
I'm not going to expose any names. I'm not going to do that. I think that where I am.
Pause. I just want you to know before he started jumping around or doing whatever he's about to do. Last week he was on the fence.
Oh, I know.
Oh, okay.
I know you heard that.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. So
I know.
No, I'm still on the fence, but he made it personal.
Oh, well. I thought we was personal last week.
No, I was.
Maybe I'm thinking about the conversations he's had with me. So.
No. When I was speaking last week, I was thinking about the church in general, and mixed in with my own personal experience.
You tried it.
Uh-huh.
You tried it.
Damn. That's
so last week, like I said, last week I was talking about the church overall in general and my own personal experience.
Okay, so let's talk about
you
right
made it
now.
Personal.
Let's talk
right
about
right now.
Let's talk about right now.
Had I not I'm talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Had I not had the spiritual covering that I have to help lead and guide me the right way, I would be fucked.
Wait. Pause. Because I'm so confused right now. Are we talking about the spiritual guidance that comes from your husband or from your church?
I'm talking about the spiritual guidance that comes from my husband.
Oh, say that then. Come on.
Yeah.
Hey.
And what I mean is, for instance, if I would have came to D.C. single like I planned and attended the same institution that I attend,
mm-hmm.
would I not?
That's your answer. So your answer
would
you be fucked
I would be.
If you were single. So I have a question.
I got
a question. Is this thing on?
Well, I'm not finished.
We'll get back to you. So, preacher of this institution that he attends.
Yes.
Thank the Lord that he has spiritual covering.
Mm-hmm.
That he's not out there in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a minister of said institution, how do you feel about that comment?
Well, because I know that there's distractions in every church. I understand because I know my husband. So, there, within reason.
But he's not talking as your husband. He's talking about
okay, so
as a single man who
a
came to
man.
D.C.
I
as
mean,
he
but
had decided to come.
But
right.
Before you answer that, I'm not the only person that feels that way.
Right.
But, so I'm saying, don't think about his covering or the guidance
right.
that you provide as a minister where they're out there in the wind. How you feel about that?
Well, it's concerning and alarming because you should not feel that way of attending church.
Mm.
But in any church, there's a distraction.
So that we're clear and I don't want to confuse your words. So you're saying him feeling that way is solely because of the distractions in the church.
No, I'm not saying it's solely because of that, but I think some of it comes back to his background.
You don't know. You can't.
No, but I think that was anyone's background. Because if I'm going to be blunt and I'm going to be real about it.
Let's be blunt and real.
If you have an issue with women.
Oh.
And you know that the church is full of women,
you're
going to be distracted.
Oh.
So if you have an issue with men, and men are in the church, you're going to be distracted.
Oh.
So if you walk in the door and you see a fine usher that is at the front of the door, and he gets your attention, then you're distracted.
Lead me, Sister Johnson. Lead me to the pew, Sister Johnson.
Especially when he's wearing tight breeches.
Or something like that, you're going to be distracted. So if you find that the choir director is attractive, and you like that, you're distracted.
Or if he's wearing tight breeches.
I mean, so you get distraction. So I get it that people find themselves being distracted. So then, yes, I can agree with you. Being a single male, coming to this area and going to an all-inclusive church, which is majority gay men, at the church that we attend now, then you would be distracted. So I get it, and I understand that. And I accept you where you are. And still, it still could be a distraction for you, even though you have a husband. Because sometimes, because wandering eyes still look, I understand that you're still a man and you like what you like. I like what I like. So it's not to say that every once in a while I don't look like, dang, oh, but wait, here you go. You know, that's real. And that's being real. Right? Is that not right or wrong?
No, you're right.
Okay. So there are distractions in any church.
I'm glad you brought clarity to the word distractions because I was thinking something totally different.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Continue.
So, yes, I will be screwed. I mean, it's just honest.
Why would you be screwed?
Because
Let's point out what your distractions are.
I like men, and I like certain things about men that I...
You're still a thought.
absolutely in my mind. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Still a thought. And I knew that it's heavily distracted.
Because of your sexual desires. Your only distraction?
Not just only because of sexual desires, but also, me and my husband, after every service, we have a conversation on the way home. We have a conversation about church. Oh, what did you like about the service? What you don't like about the service? Blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, what I didn't like. And then he'll sit there and he'll explain certain things about the service, about what went on during the service, why certain things took place, things like that. And so it helped me to better understand church a lot better. It helped me to better understand the church that we attend a lot better when it came to church leadership and church politics. So it helped me to better understand those things. And I am thankful because not a lot of people have that type of guidance. Not a lot of people have that type of leadership, because one time we were talking about prophecy a long time ago, and that's when he explained to me, and I always told him, I don't like prophets. I don't care for them. I don't like people with all kinds of titles, elder, bishop, evangelist. I don't care for all of that. And I was telling him I don't deal with profit, breathing.
I wonder who names these people these titles.
I don't know, but she was trying to get your attention.
Okay. So they should be able to hear now.
Okay. Clearly.
It's fixed.
There was something wrong with
it? It was something wrong.
But you thought you said that you didn't
see. Well.
So you find no fault. I understand.
Right.
I understand. Keep it moving.
So back to what I was saying. So my husband was the one who I'm talking. I like to be paid attention to. My husband was the one that taught me about prophecy,
What did he say about prophecy?
It's a confirmation of something that you... Same thing you said.
Or he was taught correctly.
It's a confirmation. And so, like I always told him, the prophecy that I always received were very generic.
Mm-hmm.
Very generic. You got skeletons in your closet. Who the fuck don't? Mm-hmm.
I thought he said he didn't cuss. Come on.
I said, who the fuck don't?
That's what you said? Uh-huh. Keep going.
God is going to do miraculous things. Well, I'm great because I was made by God. So I'm going to do wonderful and miraculous things. Duh. What's next? So it was just very generic. Tell me something that I've been thinking about. Tell me about a book that I thought about writing. Tell me about I want to be the next Under Armour model.
So are you writing those books? Okay.
I really do want to be an Under Armour model. I really do. I really do want to model for Under Armour.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make my body look like a...
Focus.
The Under Armour man.
Focus. Okay.
So tell me something that I've been thinking about that I've never told anybody, and you just, boom, you nailed it.
Mm.
No one's done that.
Why should they?
No. If you call yourself a prophet and you come prophesying to me, yeah, you should, because that's a prophecy. If you came up to me, you start prophesying over my life, and you're speaking things into my life, you taught me that it's a confirmation of things.
What they say should be true.
Absolutely.
It should already be. You should already, God.
You should be like,
oh, thank you, Lord.
That's how you should.
So that's why they should. And so that hurts me because it makes me leery for hearing the name, I'm prophet, blah, blah, blah.
By the spirit. So if you have a...
That spirit may come and be like,
if you have a personal relationship with God, then whenever someone is giving you a word that's from God, you should feel that it's truly a word from God. You should not have to question.
You shouldn't.
Why or how or anything. You should just know that thus said the Lord. But then that comes back with having your own personal relationship with Him.
That's why I said the onus is on
you. I have a question.
For who?
For you.
Yeah.
What is your guidance for those who don't have a relationship?
Oh. As far
when they are being prophesied to. Raise your hands, daughter. Raise your hands. Raise your hands by your head. Raise your hands.
Well,
I'm new in the church. I ain't never experienced this before. This is the man that the pastor has allowed to come into the church
to
speak a word.
So
my hands are up. My hands are down. I am a freakazoid.
Okay. So with situations like that,
mm-hmm.
if someone is prophesying to someone that you know as the pastor that mm-hmm. they are a new convert, that they have just come in and they are still on milk, and this prophet is giving them a piece of lamb to eat, then it is your job as the pastor to go to that member and explain or help that member along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So then it comes back to pastoral care. It comes back to the part of having someone that's in contact. So then you have the mother's board in the older church. We had the mother's board to where the mother's board. Those were the ladies that were set to help the younger women in the church that were coming in the church. And sometimes it hindered them.
It's
not just coaching. But sometimes it hinders people.
It does hinder people.
Because
mother will say, baby,
that skirt is too short. Bring
you're going
it down.
To hell.
You're going to hell. So
mm-hmm.
it takes people with love. It takes people with love in their heart.
My mother board wasn't
to
that.
To help them understand.
They weren't that,
Oh, baby, yes, they were. You just didn't realize it because you're a male.
He's a mother board.
The mothers of the church, honey, they corrected the young'uns. Taught them how to keep a man. Baby, hush.
Yes.
You didn't grasp that from the mother board.
Listen. Listen. That's
seen and not her.
Baby, let me tell you.
It comes back to having
it went all the way over.
It comes back to having someone that can assist the new convert. So then that whenever a pastor allows a prophet to come into his house, to the house that he oversees, to the house that he is the shepherd,
mm-hmm.
to where he has sheep in his house,
mm-hmm.
it is up to the pastor to make sure that the guidelines are followed according to that house.
But I have a question. Is there any confirmation that somebody is actually a prophet?
If he prophesies and it comes true, there you go.
No,
you should know.
I go to church on Sunday. Someone comes in. I'm prophet. So and so. Where's the credentials at?
Well, see, with situations like that,
you know,
people are called by God. So you really can't come back and say that, you're not called.
Well,
you can't do that.
Well, but you can.
But
well.
Then you can. Well. You can. Now, you can look at a person's walk. As they're walking. As they're walking with Christ, it can help you discern how close or where they are. So it's not to say that we're judging, but you can also watch.
He said, you know my people by their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Judge or not.
Right.
He said, I can tell by your fruit. Okay, so what fruit are you bearing? I'm sorry, I'm looking at the
tree. Looking at the tree.
I'm looking at the right.
He's looking at the
there
tree.
I go. I thought a fruit. Yes. Right. So what are the fruit?
So we're hanging. We'll grab the fruit. Okay.
Right. What?
So it comes back to the pastor.
All right.
I think that some of us have taken the responsibility off the pastor. I think that some of us don't hold our pastors accountable for what they're supposed to do for the congregation. And as a shepherd, you are to guide the sheep. And so you are to lead the sheep. You are to corral the sheep. You are to protect the sheep. You are to feed the sheep. And if you're not doing that, then it should be challenged. It should be questioned, why are you not doing that? If you have not put people in place to handle the areas where you're falling off, then the Bible says, woe to those that scatter my sheep.
Mm.
So then you're held accountable for the things that you're not doing. So for the young lady that she was speaking of that comes into church and has her hands up and saying, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, and this prophet comes over and whispers in her ear and says, oh, you need to do this, you need to do this, and this woman never comes back to church, then that lies back with the pastor because he did not follow what he should have been doing. He should, someone should have called her or somebody should have stopped her.
Followed up, yeah.
And said, hey, babe, you know, let's talk. Let's talk about what he said to you. Do you understand? Do you need prayer? Let's pray about it. Let me help you through this process. And so if we do that, then you'd have more people coming back to church instead of running away from church.
Hmm. So therefore the church is hurting people. Is the church or members in the church? Like,
but when I tried
somebody
to say that,
have,
when I tried to say that, y'all thought,
no.
No,
okay,
we didn't say that.
I'm asking
you. I just wanted your truth. I wish you would.
You said somebody should have followed up with her. So is it the church as a whole or is it members of the church?
So, in the church, in the church, we're keepers one of another. We are, as Christians, it is our job to make sure that the other one is looked after. If you see one wounded, it is your job as a Christian to help that wounded person that's on the battlefield of the Lord. You should be able to help that person. So it's everyone.
It's everyone's responsibility.
It's everyone's responsibility. Now, it's up to the pastor to lead those that are there and to teach those other sheep that are stronger than the weaker sheep to go back and get the weaker sheep.
Let me ask you a question. I'm not sure if you heard last week's show, but I mentioned.
I heard about the white girl. Yeah. Was that last week or that was the week before?
That wasn't me that said that.
Oh, I know.
but last week I mentioned how, or last week, week for last, whichever one it was, I mentioned how you come across some people, whoever the man or woman of God that's in charge of the flock, as great as they are, or as good as they are, I've met some people, you know, where should she go to? Before they can even get to the mayors of the church, the focus on the minister. So how do you feel about that when people put more focus, like the draw is the minister, ahead of the ministries, ahead of what the church itself does in the community? But people put so much focus
on the pastor.
On the pastor. Like, yeah, what should you go to? I go, well, you know, Teddy says, you know, my pastor is, then they get to the name of the church.
Okay. So a lot of people lose the misconception of who God is. And so it comes back to what I was saying a few minutes ago with the slave mentality. Whenever Jacoby was speaking, I mean, Dr. J, excuse me. I'm not calling you that.
I said the same thing.
That's
Coco.
That's his
girl's
name is Coco.
Oh, that's so funny.
So he can't be like,
I'll call
you chocolate.
No,
I just can't
call
it
a man. I'm not Coco.
I just can't do that.
Not to me. You're all right. I just can't do that.
Coco is to me, honey.
Isn't Coco the thing?
No. Coco has a red base.
I forgot he learned from a color wheel.
So anyway, a lot of times people lose the misconception of who God really is. God will use you just like he will use me. He'll use anybody that's willing to be used. Even those that are not willing to be used, he's still going to use them. You will do what he wants you to do eventually. So a lot of times people have let their pastors become their God.
Did I say that?
You did.
And so in becoming their God, then they lose the true focus of who God really is. So what happens is whenever that particular pastor falls, because we all fall, but it's all up to us to get up. So when that person falls or does something that hurts that member, then they turn away from God because they've looked at their pastor as being God. So it's important for the pastor to correct whenever he hears things like that and say, you know, it's not me. It's God who lives in me.
He
lives through me and he speaks through me. So then you understand who God really, really is because I carry the spirit around of God in me.
Yeah, because I come across people, what church you go to? What a minister. That 5 minutes later, the church itself.
Yeah. And so then that becomes a problem for some people. So that becomes a problem
Keep going.
Well, that becomes a problem. See, so now that you know that that's one of your triggers,
mm-hmm.
that turns you off from church, then so what you have to do is say, I don't want to hear that. What I need to know is, where do you attend? We can talk about your pastor later. So it's okay to tell people mm-hmm. that. So when you do that, it's kind of like a reality check for them. Oh, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. When people come to me and they talk mm-hmm. about, well, Lamont, what can you do? What can I hear? And if I go through my credentials, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear my credentials. They want to know what I can do for them. It's not about, oh, I want to hear a show and all this. No, what is that going to do for me? What can you do for me? I'm bald in the top. Can you fix me right there?
Kiss my head.
Yeah, can you fix me? So
right.
it's about knowing who God is. Did I help you?
No, you did. I mean, let's say my Coco
mm-hmm.
went to a pretty well-known church in Alexandria.
Okay.
And she actually, on her own accord, doing much of it's around the corner, and I'm happy for her. I didn't push it on her. But when people were asked her when she was still going to that church or some churches, people would ask what she's going to. And unconsciously, or something, whatever, she would say, oh, that was time. So, you know, you just went 3 minutes before you even got to.
And then a lot of times when people go to these big, big mega churches and the pastor has almost such of a celebrity status.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you know someone that has a celebrity status, you kind of want to throw that out. So
right.
it's them bragging on, oh, I go over here. You know, this is where it is. You know, I mean, I know coming from where I lived, the church that I went to was the It Church, you know. And
yeah.
so I would always say, you know, I went to, but I never would say, well, we had a little saying about our pastor,
yeah.
you know. So it was how
what
we said it. I'm not going to say his name. So it was how we said it, you know. It's how we said his name. So I understand what you're saying.
Now, having said that, I understand some people that may not be so anchored in the word.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, some people have a different draw to a church.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, it's kind of like, well, you're here, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get you acclimated. So if it is the minister, if it is, you know, the choir, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
hey, you're here. We can work with this.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. And a lot of times it is. So you'll find that people will join church on how they feel when they go to their church. Have you ever been to a church and you've watched people that come for the first time and they join right immediately? And they join it first time. It's because they were lacking something somewhere else. And they come in there and they feel good for that moment.
Right.
For that moment. Now,
right.
they may never come back again, but they join that moment. And you find that a lot of times because people are seeking something. So if they can come to church 1 week and feel good, that's all they need. And so it should be that people should be able to walk into every church, any church that they walk in, they should feel welcome, they should feel loved. And they should feel the Spirit. Not saying that everybody feels the Spirit the same. My husband is a crier. He just cries. He does not, he's not a.
I'm nothing wrong.
I'm sorry.
I'm surprised that he said that so freely.
Oh, because
that's what I mean, I tell everybody.
That's who he is. I'm a hallelujah. I'll shout.
Right,
I'll do whatever.
Right,
Jacoby
right.
is just that. You know, that's who he is. I mean, so people experience God different ways, but it's up to us as the church.
I'm not surprised by that.
It's up to us as the church to make people feel comfortable enough
right.
to worship.
Right.
So you know, getting back to the church, help or hinder. How do you feel about those churches that are fractured? And the churches where there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of politics going on, somebody for whatever. I think about that because. From my outside looking in, and I mean, I'm an average church goer. I'm not just somebody just, you know, got religion last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up in church. But even with me being in a church, I may not see, you know, the inner works and everything, but I can kind of tell what somebody's beefing. Because
mm-hmm.
just like at work, if you're not liking somebody, it's going to show on your coworkers.
It will. So,
you know what I mean?
When you have issues in the church, again, I put the responsibility back on the pastor. As a covering, I believe that the pastor should be so in tune with the the church. And when I say in tune, no, he cannot connect with everybody, but he should be connected well enough with those people that he's put in place to know if there's an issue in the choir department, hey, I need to come to choir rehearsal on Tuesday and I need to have a word with the choir. Say, let's pray. So what's the issue? What's going on here? Okay, the ministers are having a problem. What's going on over here? Let me call all the ministers in a meeting. So it's up to the pastor to corral the church. So if he does not set the precedent in the church, then that's where the chaos goes, when it goes crazy. So someone has to have the responsibility and to understand that, hey, this needs to be taken care of. You agree, Ms. D-Rob?
I do.
You're awful quiet.
I'm
engaged. No, she truly is. She's engaged. Okay. And she's not yelling at us tonight or anything.
There is a voice of reason in the house tonight.
So what are some of the things that you think, and this is not only to just him, but to everybody, what are some of the things that you think that the church, the overall church, not just one specific church, but the overall church, can do in order to help?
Love, unconditionally. It starts there. If we can show love unconditionally, then we can work on the other things that need to be changed.
You know what? That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have... No, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I have no qualms with that. For me, there's no but.
Mm-hmm.
The only exception is, just like they have, you know, that book.
You
know,
do realize when you say the exception, that's a but.
No, I'm saying for me.
Oh.
Okay. No, for me. Like, I'm not going to say I agree, but I don't. No. But it's like you have some, you know, books in the five love languages.
Mm-hmm.
That's really about common sense. You deal with other people. When you say it's about love, everybody reads the same Bible. I think it's the same Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure, you know, everybody's ministry has said it once in their lifetime about love.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, some people just won't do it.
You know why? It's because are we being authentic when we say it's okay to love everybody? Or do we put limits on love?
We do.
So do we have people that are teaching the members we love, but, oh, we don't love the homosexual because Leviticus 18 and 28 says this. Oh, we don't love the fat people because gluttony is a sin. Oh, we don't love a liar. Oh, we don't love this person.
Yeah.
So is it the leadership or the pastors that are teaching people how not to love?
Mm-hmm.
So it comes back to genuinely loving. And if we work on loving, then it gets better. There was one instance at my home church when I lived in Lubbock. When I lived in Lubbock, I remember there was a young lady that came to church, and she had on the tightest and shortest dress that I'd ever seen anybody wear to church. You could see the girl's heartbeat in this dress.
Ooh.
It was so tight.
It was so tight.
And so she had on these stiletto heels.
Right.
And she looked as though she was a stripper. Now, that's the way she looked. And so when she walked into church, everybody was just like, oh, my God. Oh. And she sat on the front row. She went to the front row and sat on the front row. So my first lady, being as gracious as she is, she sat next to her, and she pulled out her scarf, and she covered her legs with it. And she said, God bless you. God bless you. And the lady never laughed. She worshipped with us. No one treated her any differently, but we loved her. Now, did she come back? Yes, she did. But when she came back the next Sunday, she looked a little bit different.
A longer dress on?
Not longer. It was just short, but it wasn't as tight. So she got better. So what I'm saying is, it's true that you can love the hell out of somebody.
So is it truly love when someone walks into the building and y'all throwing shade, y'all looking at them, y'all like, what is she wearing? Why she got that on?
So
is that love, or is that because?
So you didn't.
That's
you
not
didn't
love
understand
for
my
me.
Story. You
no,
didn't
I
understand my
story.
You didn't understand my story because I said my first lady. So being the leader of the church taught us how to love her. That's the whole principle of the story. She taught us how to love her.
So that goes back to what you all were saying about the individuals in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't the individuals already know?
But if you're not taught, so then that was a life lesson for everyone that day, for the first lady to be able to sit next to her and still put something over her legs and still sit next to her because her husband was up preaching. So this lady was really a distraction for her husband.
Right.
So if you know what your husband likes,
distracting me.
If you know what your husband likes, it was still up to her to still be dignified enough to let her husband do his job that Sunday, and that was to preach. Now, she could have acted a fool if she wanted to and told that little girl, "No, you got to go. Where's one of these people? Somebody get
her." Now, did she do it out of love for the people and the woman, or did she just do it out of love for her husband?
I believe she did it out of love for her. Knowing who she is, she did it out of love for her.
But you know what? That small, minute thing. I've been in churches, or I've been in churches. I've heard where someone could disagree with the minister. And no, church is about love. Okay, everybody but gays. And minister's like, love gays.
Uh-huh.
Somebody right there on the first pew is like, this is why I draw a line at.
Uh-huh.
You know? And then they gone.
They are. So then it still takes that person to take a stand and say, okay, we're not going. So I'm watching Greenleaf. Greenleaf. That is one of my favorite shows. And there was one particular time that on that series, they were talking about how he was supporting the police. He was supporting the police.
The pastor was supporting the police, right.
The pastor was supporting the police, and the deacons had a meeting, and they were saying that we're not going to support the police. And so he says, well, this is what I've decided we're going to do. So what happened was during the service, whenever they brought all the policemen out, the deacons stood up, some of them, and they walked out.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make everybody in the church leave, but it just let them leave. So sometimes you have to take a stand for what you know is right. And so does that mean that some of your members may leave? Yes. But does that mean that it may change some members' mind? Yes. Does it mean that it may draw other people in? Yes, it will.
Now, I saw this. It's probably one of those fictional, on Facebook, stories, whatever. Actually, it was fictional. Oh, it was a story about one Sunday in church. These armed masked men came into church, with automatic weapons. Everybody except like four people left.
Mm-hmm.
So four people in the pews, and then you had like the minister and his wife. And then like, one of the armed men took off, took down his mask, like, there you go, Pastor. They know who was real.
And I think that sometimes that needs to happen. I think that sometimes, not saying that people have to come in with guns or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But I think that sometimes in the church, we are faced with challenges in the church that causes people to walk away. Some people are not willing to stand for whenever a church is going through some issues. The church said, I've been at a church that we've had major issues to where people fell off and they would not come to service. The money went down because they were upset with something that happened with the pastor. And so it was up to those faithful few that stayed and still worshiped, that carried on even throughout the mess. And so what it did was it caused other people to come back and say, okay, if you stay, then there's something here. So. You didn't look at it like that when we were going through that, did you?
No, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did. It was turbulent, but, God hadn't told me to leave. So apparently there is something there that I need.
There's work for you to do, sir.
There is a lot of work.
And preparing you to be that first G that you're going to be.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh,
okay. Lead and you say follow.
I'm just tickled.
Yeah. So, yes, we have about, one, two more minutes left?
No, like 60 seconds left, actually.
Oh.
this show has actually,
it has been quite eye-opening, I know for me. When D-Rob first started speaking truth earlier today about, the Bible, and she wasn't damning the Bible or anything like that. But she just started speaking a lot of truth, and it really, really opened my eyes.
It is the inspired word of God. It is not the word of God. It is the inspired word of God.
No, the Bible is the word of God.
No, the Bible is the inspired word of God. He didn't write it.
So what you're saying is it's inspired, and we shouldn't live by the principles that's in it.
That is what he said.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it is the inspired word of God.
Define
that. We believe that the word is true.
We believe. So it could be false.
No. That's not what I'm saying. So we practice that the Bible is true and it's right. It's simply instructions for us to follow.
Right. So if we believe that something is so, then it is, correct?
Yes.
So it is the word of God.
In your definition, yes, sir.
I'm just asking a question.
Mm.
It is the inspired word of God.
Then why is it so contradictory?
Because it's the inspired word of God.
Okay. So we don't have time left to go